And joining us now is Max Rickman, who is the National with the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. Welcome to Background Briefing, Max Rickman.
Thank you for inviting me.
And Max, your organization, the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare, I guess you're doing the Lord's work, given that there's this sort of jihad been going on now for decades and intensifying to basically take away the two pillars of what arguably are the remnants of social democracy in the United States. Why is it that, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it? Why is it, do you think, that people are trying to destroy these programs?
Well, I think it all, as with many things, comes down to money. These programs, particularly Social Security, are extremely successful. With respect to Social Security, has been able to stockpile, if you will, about $2.7 trillion by design. That's how much money was paid in through the payroll tax above what has been paid out in benefits. And that surplus trust fund, if you will, was created to be there when the baby boomers now have just started in the last year or so entering retirement. It's a tempting amount of money. And it should not be misused for dealing with issues involving our federal debt. Remember the fiscal cliff a year ago and how there was an effort to drag Social Security into that discussion. Whatever is done with Social Security, and it's a dynamic program, it has changed over time, over the last 80 years or so, and will continue to change. But the changes to Social Security should be done for the sake of the program, not to address other financial problems that our federal government is facing.
Well, isn't there an object lesson in what happened under President George W. Bush, who tried to privatize it and didn't succeed? But had he succeeded and had people drunk the Kool-Aid that he'd be better off, you know, investing in private health insurance on Wall Street rather than this program that's been working for decades, what would have happened to those people after the 2008 crash?
Yeah, I'll tell you, what I started referring to my 401k at that time as my 201k because half the value disappeared. Social Security was not impacted in that way. It was sound. People continued to receive all the benefits that they're entitled to in full, with the cost of living adjustment, inadequate in my opinion, but still a cost of living adjustment each year. If that money, God forbid, had been invested in the stock market or part of it, as President Bush proposed, Social Security recipients would have suffered. So I'm hoping that was an object lesson. There isn't that much talk about privatizing the program. I think people realized that there was not much success in that effort. But there's still a lot of discussion of reducing benefits by virtue of lowering the cost of living adjustment. That's one approach. Raising the retirement age.
The chain CPI you're talking about?
The chain CPI. You obviously have done your homework. The chain CPI is an effort to change the formula by which the COLA is calculated. And unfortunately, it has been proposed by the president in the last couple of budgets. I think that is misguided. He has not succeeded in getting that through the Congress, and I'm hoping that there's enough opposition that if it is in his budget, which we'll see in about a few weeks, that it will face a strong opposition again this year as it did in the past.
And again, I'm speaking with Max Rickman, the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. Why is it then that chain CPI is getting some political traction and not the easiest fix which is what Senator Bernie Sanders and others have suggested, which is just to raise the cap. There's no reason why multimillionaires and billionaires should be paying the same amount that regular folks are paying.
Well, I think that's getting traction. I think more and more people are, first of all, becoming aware that there is a cap. You know, I bring this up often at town hall meetings, and I've conducted hundreds of them with members of Congress, including Senator Sanders, in their home districts and states. A lot of people don't even know there's a cap on the amount of wages subject to the payroll tax. Why? They never reach that cap, so they just assume you pay on your all your wages. And once they found, I've heard people describe this cap as a loophole. Why should someone who's making $1 million, $5 million a year not pay a little bit more in Social Security? Maybe the percentage would be different. Depends on what the politics are. I think one of the proposals, I believe it's Senator Sanders, would start the payroll tax again at, I think, $250 or $300. So there's politically that might be easier to move through the Congress than just eliminating it altogether. But we support what we call scrapping the cap. It would bring more revenue into the program and not affect beneficiaries.
So here today at this meeting for advocates of health care reform and those trying to implement it in the states, and of course it's being done unevenly because of the ideological objections on the part of a number of southern governors, for example, what's your sense then in terms of your issue, which is preserving Social Security and Medicare, in terms of this launch of the Affordable Care Act? Has this been a blow to those who advocate that the government can get things done? And
well, it's been a setback. There's no doubt about it. And I think even the administration, the president, admits that there were problems with the launch. I think those are being corrected rapidly. And I think when we look back on this episode in a few years from now, it'll be the Affordable Care Act will become as much a part of our social fabric as Social Security and as Medicare. By the way, the Affordable Care Act was a real plus for Medicare beneficiaries. Regardless of the launch, the problems with the rollout and the computer problems with signing up, the Affordable Care Act, the bottom line is, if you're on Medicare, the Affordable Care Act means you get more benefits, and pay less for them. The Affordable Care Act, for the first time ever under Medicare, provides preventative care such as mammograms, colonoscopies, diabetes screening, for Medicare beneficiaries with no out-of-pocket cost. That's a real plus. That will improve health care in the long run, a lower cost, and save lives. The Affordable Care Act closes the donut hole in the prescription drug Part D portion of Medicare. And the Affordable Care Act extends the solvency of the Medicare program by 7 years. So despite all the rhetoric and scare tactics in the last couple of elections about $716 billion being taken from the Medicare program, those reductions, those savings, did not come out of beneficiaries. They came out of reimbursement rates to a whole variety of providers. That's where that money came from. But the impression among the public was it's got to hurt because they just took $716 billion out of Medicare. It did not hurt beneficiaries. As I said, the best way I've found to explain it is under the Affordable Care Act, if you're on Medicare, you get more in terms of benefits and you pay less for those benefits.
Well, of course, just in closing, Max Wickman, we've seen the signs from the Tea Party activists who are opposed to the government or to government itself, holding up signs saying, keep your hands off my Social Security and off my Medicare. So clearly there's a need, surely, to educate people who are opposed to something that they actually are, in
Absolutely.
Fact, in favor of.
That's such a good point. All of the polling we have seen shows overwhelming support for Social Security and for Medicare. among Democrats, Republicans, I'm talking about 70 to 80% support. Democrats, Republicans, independents, young people, older people, retirees, Tea Party folks, they do not want, they may not like the government, some of them, but they don't think Social Security should be cut, and they definitely don't think it should be touched for the sake of helping us get further ahead of our admittedly serious federal debt problem.
Well, Max Rickman, I thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Again, I've been speaking with Max Rickman, who is with the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare.